SBS Radio.
Oh, there's been a massive positive reaction to it from the general community, but also the rugby league community that I'm involved in heavily. And it's been enlightening to see so much positivity come not only towards me, but towards the cause that we're trying to do, and that's around, you know, the protection of kids and the raising awareness of child sexual abuse.
I don't want to drag over too much difficult territory, but for the perpetrator, you've got a position of forgiveness for what happened, what occurred?
I'll never forgive, because it's taken a huge chunk of my life, and it's changed the person I am. Like, I know, you know, I feel like I'm a good person, but I feel like outside of that, I lost a youth, I lost a childhood, I lost schooling. So I left school really young because I just couldn't handle the authority, and I went off the rails a bit as a kid. And I look at it now and I think, well, where could I have been if that didn't happen? You know, I could have done better things. I could have done, you know, reached greater heights. So, yeah, I'll never forgive, because it's, you know, it's an act that takes away your childhood. It takes away your youth, and you miss out on so much.
I understand you dabbled in drugs for a little while. So at that point in your life, I guess you could have gone one of two ways. How important has rugby league been in getting back on track?
Rugby league has been the most constant thing in my life. I started playing when I was a three-year-old kid for Zetland Magpies in the South Sydney Junior League. Played at that club for a long time, and then finished up playing at Alexandria Rovers. So I played for two like iconic clubs in the South Sydney District Junior League, and was fortunate enough to be part of those two clubs. And then from there on, went into refereeing, and that's been there, you know, for quite a long time. I'm a massive boxing fan, and I heard a quote by one of my favourite fighters, Sugar Ray Leonard. He was talking about life is like boxing. You get knocked around a bit, you know, you hit the deck, you get up, you throw some punches and you take some punches, but you can't do that unless you've got a strong corner and a strong team. And for me, that's what I've got. So my strong corner is my wife, Casey, who, you know, makes sure that I'm protected and looked after, and, you know, is there to throw in the towel if I need a break and stuff like that. And I've got my strong team, which is the rugby league community. You know, they're always there for me, especially the squad that I'm in, the NRL referees, where, you know, the first people apart from Casey that I actually opened up to and told my story was that group of referees that are part of our current squad. And I'll forever be indebted to them, because they gave me their reaction and their support of me when I came out and told those guys my story, and the way that they took me in and protected me. I'll be forever indebted to those guys, which gave me the confidence to then go forward and tell my story publicly. Yeah, so I owe everything in my life to rugby league, and I love the game.
And I understand you're also Indigenous. What's the reaction been like amongst your Indigenous family and friends?
A big part of the reason why I locked myself up for you know, nearly 40 years and didn't tell my story is because of the stigma that comes around stuff like this. Growing up in the inner city where I grew up, growing up in, you know, rugby league in the 80s, growing up as in an Indigenous community, you're meant to be tough as a man. It's meant to be, you know, you're a tough, strong man, things shouldn't bother you and that. So I was always worried to, firstly, when I was having issues and, you know, and I turned to drugs, I was worried about speaking up and people thinking that I was soft. You know, as a man, you're meant to be the tough one. But, you know, now as a grown adult, I realise that being a man is, you know, is having a soft side, is nurturing, is understanding that everyone's, you know, got issues and everyone's going to be themselves. And if certain things have happened to certain people, or certain people go down a certain track, or certain people have certain views, that's their views, and that's, you know, and that's fine. And everyone should be different, and we've got to embrace our differences and make sure that, you know, we love and protect each other in spite of our differences.
I mean, in terms of what you've been through now, when you look back at the way your life's played out up till now, what's your message to those people who have dealt with either suppression of those emotions, and what's the best way to deal with it?
Yeah, it's very hard to tell somebody what to do, because every individual circumstance is different. You know, there are some kids out there that don't have a support network, and if they were to come out and say that, their situation could get a lot worse, end up with, you see a lot of kids homeless and stuff like that, because they have no support systems and nowhere to go. So it's a very individual thing. My sort of take out of it all is that find the comfort in yourself, and if you are comfortable and you have someone comfortable that you can tell, it is the best therapy there is, to have someone that you can comfortably talk to and let them know how you are and how you're feeling. Because there's a lot of things for me when I was able to come out and tell my story is, firstly, it took the weight off. It took the nights where, you know, that although on the outside everyone, like, people didn't know what was going on with me, so on the outside everything looked good, but the sleepless nights and the running thoughts through your memory the whole time, and trying to suppress stuff, and then things coming up, or watching a TV show and something happens in that show which then triggers memories, they're few and far between now, because I'm not trying to hide something, if that makes sense, because it's out there. I don't have to worry about that, you know, and I don't have to leave a room if there's something on a TV show that upsets me. I can sit there and watch it because, you know, I'm much more comfortable and at peace with it. So by speaking out, it does give you that comfort. But yeah, I'm not going to sit there and say, you know, you should say this or you should do that, because, you know, if someone had said that to me 20 years ago, I probably would have suppressed me even more and stuff like that. So it's an individual thing, but it's a comfort thing. It's knowing your environment and knowing that the people you can talk to, you know, the more that people are aware and the more that people are, we take that stigma out of it, the more likely a kid is to speak up. And as adults, we need to make sure that we believe kids, because that's a big part of it. Kids don't feel like they're going to be believed, and especially sort of going down the track of how this happens, majority of cases is by a family member or a trusted friend. So it's very hard for a young child to speak up against someone that the family respects or is part of the family, because you feel like you're going to be ostracized or not believed. You know, so that's one thing as adults that we need to make sure. If a kid comes or says anything around that, we don't brush it off. We actually take it seriously, because it's a massive part of how a kid, how a kid's life could turn out.
Want to hear more stories like this? Listen on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.